Howdy, everybody. Welcome to The Question Block. This is Nintendo Oki's video game trivia podcast where we talk about a bunch of random stuff. Then we put somebody in the hot seat. I am your host, Tony, and joining me as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
Thought that just off the top of your head, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, thus is the Nintendo Oki way. Hey, I'm doing good, Tony. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic, sir. Fantastic.
I'm feeling pretty good about these hot seat tallies we got here. I know we said we weren't going to keep track of the points, but I think we're currently sitting at 2 versus a half, so I'm sitting pretty good.
2 versus a half. We're not going to have a hot seat round this week, actually, Shelby. We'll talk about that a little later, though. But how about we just go ahead and get started. Are you ready?
I think I'm pretty ready to go. We got trivia questions ready. I got the music in. Oh, this is your basically your subtle reminder for me to get the music ready, isn't it? I got you. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, I am ready. I've got one amp open here. I've got YouTube here. We're good to go.
We got all kinds of programs running to record this show.
Oh, man. I need to fix my graphics card because I keep getting all kinds of ghosting and weird images. And oof. It's sitting in the box right here where it's been the past like month and a half whenever I took it apart on whatever episode it was.
You should probably get that fixed.
I know how to fix it. I just, you know, don't have the time.
Round one.
Oh, round one is the music round. Last week, I was in charge. We did a bunch of remixes. This week, Shelby, you're in charge of the music round again. What do you got for us?
Well, this week, we all know and love the Konami code, right?
Up, up, down, down, so on and so forth.
Close enough. So this week is going to be music about the Konami code. So we're going to bust some Konami code game music out at you. Now, I would like to point out that just because it's the Konami code, you know, may not necessarily be a Konami game. So keep that in mind.
No, that code appears in the most random of places.
It does, like ESPN.com. But that's not a game, and that is not one of the questions. And if I could find music from ESPN.com, well, that's probably some background music or something, right?
Do-do-do-do-do-do. There you go.
Oh, I think we're going to get sued now. Way to go.
Oh, great. Sorry.
I'll have to edit that. I'll have to change the pitch of that so it doesn't sound the same. I'm not going to do that. All right, but anyway, we're going to play some three songs here. So question one, we're going to play right now. So that was a very Konami game, as you could probably tell from the sound, right?
That is probably the Konamiest of games.
I like that. Very definitely NES style for people that have an ear for chiptunes out there.
I actually only know this one because before we recorded the show, you'd posted a video on the site about a drum remix, and then I turned around and posted another one from another person doing a drum remix. So that's why I know this music, because I have not played more than a couple of levels of this game.
Well, the game we are speaking of is Contra for the NES. Now, here's a little look behind the curtain here. I wanted to do just nothing but Contra music this week because of that video I posted on the site. But, like, there's only so many songs in Contra, and I don't want to start digging into Super C or any other, like, Neo Contra or anything like that. I just want the NES original Contra.
You know, then you got that Xbox Live Arcade game that's a Contra game that isn't a Contra game.
Wasn't that the remake of Contra that wasn't good or something? I don't know. I just wanted to do Contra music, but I figured I probably couldn't do three Contra songs in a row. So I busted out the Konami code. There you go. But that was from Contra. That was the Energy Zone. I want to say that's stage 6? Right after the snowfield.
I don't have any idea.
Pretty sure. It's right after the snowfield. It's 6, I think, of the number, because you go from that one, and you go to the hangar. Wait, maybe it's 7, because Hangar's 8. Alien Lair. Wait, no.
I don't know.
No, it is 7, because 8 Wait, what?
That's when you fight Hitler and the game is over.
Yep, there you go. Bionic Commando. All right, song number two we're going to play for you right now. So, Tony, what do you think about that little, I don't want to call it jazzy, I don't want to call it funky, but let's call it fazzy. How about that?
Fazzy?
Fazzy, the thing?
That is a new genre you have just created. I'm
trying to coin a term here. I don't know how well that worked.
Probably not too well.
Yeah, probably not. Imagine the
guy.
We'll
see, if it ends up on a shirt, you know you've made it.
What if we make the shirt?
Well, that's okay.
Okay, well, maybe we should make some fazzy shirts.
Oh, we're feeling kind of fazzy.
Feeling fazzy. Come on, that's, how much is that? That's just as much a made-up word as zesty or zany or something like that. Come on.
It's also about as made-up as radioactive turtles.
Radioactive turtles? What about turtles from space?
Turtles from space would be even better.
It would be. I bet turtles from space would have a lot more explosions.
Probably.
But if
especially
you
if Michael Bay was in charge.
There you go. If you haven't figured it out by now, we're speaking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is the Game Boy Advanced, what the heck is the subtitle on this one?
Fall of
the Foot Clan. Thank you. I knew it was something to do with the foot. Could not remember what the verb was there. But Fall of the Foot Clan, yeah. So
yeah, this was one of those, like I was telling you, that one of the few Turtles games that I actually owned back when I was a kid. But it's been years and years, probably since I was, 13 or 14, that I actually played the game, so I didn't remember the music from it.
I don't think I've ever played this one before. I vaguely remember seeing it before. I don't think I played it. I don't know. I don't have any recollections of it if I did, so I cannot speak to the quality of this title.
I seem to remember liking it better than the NES, the first game.
Yeah, that first NES game was, it was just turtles and the fact that you had the turtles and that was it.
Pretty much.
That game was so frustrating. I've never beat the third level. I don't know if anybody ever has. I don't know if that game is even beatable.
Oh yeah, I made it to the underwater levels, but I don't know that I got much further than
the
that.
The underwater level is a second level.
That's probably about as far as I got.
That's where you get near the dam and you gotta get all the bombs.
Yes.
Yep. That's the second level. Good music though. Good music to that game. Konami was busting out some good music back in those days.
They did.
Alright. Song number three. Keep in mind, Konami code, people. Here we go. Tony, I don't know how to tell you this, dude, but this game is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the go-round that you guys played kind of proved that.
Yeah, it was, and I wasn't even there for that one. It was just Peter, Will, and Josh. But I have played this game firsthand, and it is ridiculous. I believe I've said this before.
just a few minutes ago, actually.
And, you know, when you're playing a game that's based on card games, you know, maybe you would think it'd be have something to do with the card game. But no, not this one. It's a turn-based RTS. That makes no sense.
How does that fit into the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise?
I have no idea. It's the characters from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards, but they're not on the cards. They're just walking around. I don't know. They're doing whatever, but Yu-Gi-Oh! The Falsebound Kingdom, or is it just Falsebound Kingdom?
I think there's a the in there.
Is there the? It doesn't even matter. It's such a bad game, but yes, it's the Falsebound Kingdom. Ugh, whatever. I don't even care. I don't even like this game. Why'd I pick this song?
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Needs to stick with just the card battles. Maybe you could throw some, you know, role-playing game type adventuring in the middle, but just stick to the card battles.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I was going to say what the Konami code did for each of these games. For Contra, obviously, it gives you 30 lives. I think
that's kind of the most famous use of it.
For the Turtles game, you can put the Konami code while you pause the game. It'll replenish your energy, but it only works once per game, so it'll stingy with it there. And for Falsebound Kingdom, you can enter it during battle, and it'll give you extra money. So, again, it's the, like the worst use of the Konami code.
Well, if I could pause life and enter the Konami code and get extra money, that'd be pretty awesome.
I think if you could pause life, you wouldn't have the need for extra money. But, you know, whatever.
That's probably true, too. Good point.
Round two.
All right, let's move on to round two. And this week, round two is all about pinball games.
Ooh, I like pinball.
And just as another little thing, these are all pinball games published by Nintendo.
Okay.
So, I bet you didn't know they published quite a few pinball games in their history.
I bet I did.
So here we go. Question four. This game only featured three pinball tables based on levels from a popular video game series. It was most well known for the star of the game being the pinball.
You know, this question, I know the answer to this question. You know why?
Why?
Because I wrote a trivia question about this game on my pinball category on the first season of the question block.
I seem to remember that, actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah, you're stealing my questions, huh? That's what you're doing.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, huh?
Not on purpose.
Okay, well, I'll give you a pass this time, because this is a good game. This is a good game. It deserves talk about it, you know? It
stars one of your favorite characters.
It does star one of my favorite characters, and it's been rated for the eShop, I believe, too.
I think it has, but we're getting another game, actually, with Kirby in it before that, I think.
We are, but Kirby's Pinball Land, the greatest pinball game, pinball video game, I should specify, of all time. It's fantastic.
I think the Atari 2600 version of pinball was considerably better.
You, sir, are insane. You're ridiculous.
You're right, I am, because
you
that was an awful pinball game.
More ridiculous than Yu-Gi-Oh! The Falsebound Kingdom, if you truly believe that. And that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that pinball game was awful.
But Kirby's Pinball Land is not awful at all.
Not at all. I would actually, wouldn't mind playing it right now. Let's stop the show and I'll go find a copy of the game and play it.
Dude,
real quick.
Don't tell me that. You'll never hear from me again, because I've never beat that game. It is hard.
Really?
Yes. Oh, it's hard. I mean, I've beaten two of the three tables before, but I've never beaten all three. You only have so many lives to do it. It's hard, dude.
There's actually a story built into it and some objectives that you got to do while you're playing pinball.
Yeah, there's like a boss at the top of each table, and you have to beat all three tables to get to DDD. I've never even seen DDD in that game. I don't even know.
Yeah, you've seen DDD in a lot of games.
I have. I've played a lot of Kirby in my day.
Question five. This game featured one table that spanned two screens and a bonus mode based on Breakout. It was one of 18 launch titles for the NES and was later re-released as a playable bonus in Animal Crossing for the N64 in Japan and the GameCube in North America.
Oh man, Animal Crossing. That game is fantastic.
I played a little bit of Animal Crossing today, actually.
Yeah, that game. I was listening to Animal Crossing music for a better part of the day. It's some good writing music, you know.
It's some good everyday life music, I think.
It really is. You know, if I could just walk around and have somebody follow me playing Animal Crossing music all day, my life would be better, honestly.
As long as, you know, you don't run into Resetti in real life.
Well, you know, you gotta take the good with the bad sometimes, Tony. Life ain't all gumdrops and lemon drops and other drops.
That's a lot of drops.
And raindrops. Yeah, that kind of works. Life is both gumdrops and raindrops, Tony. You gotta take the good with the bad. See how they turn that around? I say something ridiculous and I make it good.
Good, but I like gumdrops and raindrops, so both of those are good. There's no bad in that.
Well, way to go. You just ruined my whole thing. I appreciate that. We're talking about pinball.
We are talking about pinball. Pinball for the NES starred Mario, and in the breakout mode, he was actually breaking the blocks to get to rescue Pauline. And when all the blocks fell, she would actually fall from the top of the screen to the bottom, and you had to catch her on this little platform that Mario had, because if she fell through, Mario died.
Yeah, right? Mario's just running around holding a paddle. Yeah, that's weird. That's barely pinball. That's almost breakout.
It was more breakout, I think, than pinball.
Isn't Luigi holding a paddle when you play two-player, too?
I think so.
Yeah, you think so. You should know. This is Luigi, dude.
I haven't played every Luigi game, despite what you might think. There are some games that star Luigi that I've never played.
Yeah, like Luigi's Mansion 2.
There are some games that have Luigi in them that I've never managed to get to, like Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to bring that up, but since you did bring it up, I do have Luigi in Mario Galaxy. But,
yeah, don't rub it in. You've probably also got Dry Bowser in Mario Kart.
I do, and so does your daughter.
Yes, she does. Man, don't remind me. Question 6, we're moving on. This pinball game came with a clip that would attach a microphone to the system's controller. It was not only a pinball game, but blended that with elements of a tactical war game.
This is like 3 games in one. It's like an RTS, a pinball game, and Karaoke Revolution all together.
That's a pretty good combination.
That's like something a German geneticist would think up during World War II. This is crazy.
I think it was actually thought up by Japanese video game designers.
Well, they're just as crazy. Maybe more crazy.
True. That's true. We get games like, you know, No More Heroes and Captain Rainbow because of it.
Yeah. Captain Rainbow. Wow. But you are speaking of Odama for the GameCube. One of the, like, 4 games or whatever that used a GameCube microphone.
You would actually use the microphone to move characters around on the screen while you're playing pinball on top of it.
Oh, I've never played this game. And just thinking about playing it makes my head hurt. It's just so much going on, dude.
There's a lot of stuff you got to keep track of.
There is. It's ridiculous. That's the word of the day. So every time I say ridiculous, everyone got to go, like it's Pee-wee or something. So people do that.
The word of the day.
Word of the day.
So there you go. There are 3 questions about pinball.
Round 3.
Now it's time to move on to round 3, Shelby. The round is called I Spy.
And what do you think that means, I Spy?
You're looking for Waldo.
It's
a hidden pictures round, right?
No. How would we get hidden pictures in a audio show, dude? Think about it.
Well,
this.
You can actually put pictures onto an audio podcast.
I am not going to go to that level of programming. I don't think I can do that with Audacity. This isn't Fez, dude. I don't know where you're getting your information here.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's true. These are all about spies.
These are all about spies. You know them, you love them. You never know anything about them because they're spies. You know, you don't know what they're doing. But
there may be a spy in this room right now and we don't know it.
There could be. You never know. Maybe one of your cats is a spy. That's why they're always meowing.
It could be. It's some secret spy language.
While you're pondering that, question number 7. This 2010 Obsidian release has you controlling CIA operative Michael Thornton as you oddly have to build upon his lacking skills.
Spy game.
Michael Thornton.
That sounds like a good spy name.
That's a pretty good spy name, Michael Thornton. Here's the thing. If you're a spy, do you give your real name or do you use an alias?
Sometimes I guess you could give your real name.
Or if you're,
nobody knows.
That's just it. If you're a really good spy, you could give your real name and nobody would ever know it.
That would just be like, that guy is too honest. There's no way he could be a spy.
He can't be a spy. Like Tony. Tony's such a nice guy. There's no way he could be a spy, right?
That's what would I tell you if I was?
That's what Tony wants us to think, people. Come on.
I have to say, Michael Thornton is a good spy name, but my favorite spy name of all time is Michael Weston.
Michael Weston. Who's that from?
It is a guy, his character from a show on USA called Burn Notice, which is a fantastic spy show.
That's a spy show? I thought it was about firefighters.
No. Not about firefighters.
Okay, well, I don't know anything about that, but I do know about Alpha Protocol.
This was not a good game, apparently.
It's okay. As the question hints, you had to build upon this super CIA operative skills, which is kind of the weird thing because it's got RPG elements. So you have to build upon his skills. So,
well, if you're already a CIA operative, shouldn't you have a lot of skills?
Yeah, shouldn't you be able to shoot a pistol relatively good out of the box instead of have to build upon that skill? So it was kind of the weird trade-off. They were trying to make a like an RPG game, but trying to make it a spy. And so it's kind of like the beginning of Tiger Woods. You're like the best golfer in the world, but you can't putt worth a flip, you know?
That's real life, man.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I don't golf. But I do read question 8. This game about a spy who often gets shook was released 48 years after the novel and 42 years after the film it was based on.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes and the Quest for More Money.
Wait, he's not a spy. He's a detective.
He's like the opposite of... Wait. Yeah, he's like the opposite of a spy because he finds the secrets.
It's true. And he's really good at finding the secrets.
He's like super good at it. And apparently he's also Iron Man, which who figured...
Hey, maybe he is a spy and we just never knew it for years and years and years.
Oh my gosh, he's like the best spy because he's finding other spies while he's really a spy and you think he's a detective. Oh my gosh. you just blew my mind, dude. You blew my mind. I think you're a spy. I think you're...
The spy we're actually talking about is James Bond.
He's the spy, 007, and the game is From Russia with Love.
Not the most popular James Bond game of
which
all time.
Is really weird that they made a game about it like 50-40 years after the movie and book came out.
Well, you know, all those movies and books got to get their games. GoldenEye did it and did it really well, so they figure the rest of them can too.
And now they're coming out with what, the Bond like collection thing where it's going to have like favorite scenes from popular movies, so that'll be interesting. Gaz is excited about it.
It will be interesting. I would be interested in playing that.
More James Bond is never a bad thing.
That's true. I like the current James Bond. He's pretty good.
Daniel Craig does a pretty good job. Yeah, I like him too. But nothing's gonna beat Sean Connery, I think.
No, that's true.
He is the best James Bond. But he is Sean Connery, so you know what you gonna do. Question 9. This title pulls the old switcheroo and sees you controlling a once unpopular super soldier instead of the former Foxhound agent fans expected.
Oh, man, I remember people being mad about this.
People were irate.
they probably still talk about it.
Yeah.
Still. And now that guy is getting his own game. Or was that game canceled?
It was canceled and then uncanceled and then, like, you cut a watermelon and then it was uncanceled again. So I don't know. I don't know where that... I don't know how they snuck fruit into there somehow.
Fruit Ninja Raiden Edition.
It is! You're totally right! Oh, but yeah, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty.
I played up through a portion of the thing where you were trying to sneak around behind a bunch of guys in a giant room with some mechs over. They were all looking at the mech and listening to somebody talk.
You just described every Metal Gear Solid game.
That's probably true.
And I get confused with the title. Sons of Liberty, Guns of the Patriots, Substance.
Snake Eaters.
Kojima, that dude, talk about ridiculous. That guy is like the captain of making ridiculous a cutscene. That's what he does.
And he likes to transfer things.
And make it really long.
And revengeance of things.
Revengeance? You come up with that?
No, that was like the subtitle of the newest game.
What? 4?
Metal Gear Solid, it was like Metal Gear Solid 5 Revengeance or something. 5. That was what the subtitle for the new game was supposed to be.
There's no 5. What, is that something they're working on? I don't know. They're probably
that was what they were. I think that was the game that got canceled.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one with Raiden where you like Fruit Ninja Raiden Edition. What was that called?
Fruit Ninja Raiden Edition Revengeance of the Fruit.
Was it called Revengeance? That doesn't sound right.
It was, yes.
You sure?
Yes.
That does not sound... All right, whatever. I'll take your word for it, because I can't think of the other thing, but...
I am completely sure.
All right.
Round 4.
Round 4 this week is not the hot seat, Shelby. We have something special. We announced it last week. We are doing our first prize round.
We are. We're giving away a copy of the Resident Evil Revelations soundtrack.
That we are. The Japanese version of it. All of the text on the case is in Japanese. It is completely sealed. It has never been listened to.
So Japanese CDs work over here, right? We're all good there?
The CDs are region-free.
There you go. So you don't have to worry about that, people. But in honor of Resident Evil, what kind of questions are we going to be asking here, Tony?
These questions are all about Resident Evil.
Yeah, how was that for a setup? That was pretty lame. I'm not the best at this. I'm better at doing the color guy. I'm not so good at this host thing. That's your deal.
it just seems to make sense. If you're giving away a Resident Evil prize, to make people tell you about Resident Evil.
All right.
So,
yeah,
so why not? What you've got to do if you want to win that copy of the Resident Evil Revelation soundtrack is send your answer to the following 5 questions to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. You've got 2 weeks to get us your answers in. So have your answers to us by May 29th. And on the episode 2 weeks from now, we will announce the winner and give out the answers to these questions.
All right. Let's get into it.
So the first prize round question. This city was ordered destroyed by the Federal Bioterrorism Commission after a bioterror attack performed by the organization known as Il Veltro.
I don't know.
It's because you've never played this Resident Evil game.
Apparently not. I've played them all, I thought. What did I miss?
I have played this Resident Evil game.
Okay, well, I know which one it is now. I need to play that one.
So, there you go. Second question. These parasites are responsible for turning people into creatures called Los Ganados in Resident Evil 4.
Ganados, actually, I think is how it's pronounced.
That's true.
There you go. But yeah, I do know this one, so...
I say Ganados, you say Ganados. It's all the same.
Yeah, as long as you don't have things bursting out of your head, we're all good, so...
Yeah, that would be painful.
It would be, and they're a pain in the neck, because then you gotta throw a flashbang, and, you know, quick tip, anybody, Resident Evil 4, head things, flashbang. So it'll change your life, I guarantee it.
Solves all your problems. Third question. This man saved Jill Valentine from being crushed to death and uttered what would become some of the most famous words in the Resident Evil franchise.
There's a lot of famous words in the Resident Evil franchise, but see, these are some of the most coveted, I would say.
I think I've seen more videos on YouTube use these words and more people talk about these words than anything else in the Resident Evil franchise.
Definitely, if somebody were to say it on this show, I would tell them to keep it PG. So, you know, there's a little tip for you. And come on, people, you should know this. This is easy.
Question 4. This character has appeared in more Resident Evil games than anyone else with a total of 9 appearances.
Ooh, okay, I like this question. That's a good one. I would have to think about that.
That's a lot of appearances.
That's a lot of zombies, dude.
And some non-zombies as well.
Some non-zombies, yeah. Ganados.
Yeah. So. Ganados. And the things in the 3DS game, I don't remember what they were called. Just BOWs. I don't think they actually had.
Yeah, they stopped coming up for names and just started giving them acronyms. That's way easier to remember.
Just remember bow. That's all you got to remember.
Just remember shoot the things that are trying to eat you. That's what you really need to remember.
That's an even better tip. If something is trying to eat you, shoot it.
There you go. That's a word to live by right there.
And question 5. The original outbreak occurred in Raccoon City. What year did that event occur?
Oh, okay. So you want year in the actual game timeline, right?
Yes, not the year of the game's release.
Okay, which oddly I think may be the same.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
No, the game came out 2 years before the outbreak would have occurred.
Okay. A little near future thing there, huh? A
little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Just think Call of Duty.
Why?
Because they're all in the near future now.
Are you a spy pretending to be Tony Miller and you're actually Bobby Kotick and you're trying to work as much Call of Duty and Coke and everything as possible?
I am trying to sell more vanilla Coke to the masses.
I knew it!
So, see, I'm not a very good spy, apparently.
Your ruse has been revealed, sir. I've cracked your code.
Man! So there you go. There are your 5 Resident Evil questions. You've got 2 weeks to get us your answers. Send those answers to podcast@nintendo-oki.com.
I like your reaction to me discovering you're a spy. It's just, man!
That's what else am I going to do?
Shucks, he figured me out.
My cover has been blown. So we didn't actually mention this, Shelby. Every correct answer will get you 1 entry into the drawing. So if you answer all 5 questions right, you get 5 chances at winning. If you only answer 1 question right, you get 1 chance, but that's still a chance.
All it takes is 1, dude. We only pull 1 name out of the proverbial hat there, so.
That is very true.
All it takes is 1, people. Everybody gets 1.
So hopefully some people will... take that to heart, and just even if they only know 1 answer, send that 1 answer in, because you could win. But that's going to be the show for this week, Shelby.
Pretty good. As much as I miss the hot seat, it's good to give stuff away, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, the hot seat will be back next week, though, Shelby.
It will be back in a big way.
And I guess we could go ahead and let everybody know ahead of time who's going to be in the hot seat.
You going to do it? All right, let it go.
Let's do it. Alex Noisy from Gaijin Games.
The Gaijin Games head himself. So look forward to that. We got it recorded. We did it the other day. A lot of fun.
It's pretty good. Now, our first celebrity hot seat appearance, I guess you could say.
Oh, totally, yeah. And maybe so, even we kind of bust out a couple interview questions, too. So look forward to that.
That's true. So there you go. Next week is going to be a good episode. This week is pretty good as well. Every week is good. What am I talking about?
Every day is great at your June S, Tony. Now, that was a setup.